Okay, we are finally podcasting. The power went out, guys. Victoria got hit hard with who knows what, lightning strikes, some power plant went down, and 500,000 people basically didn't have power for a very long time. So I went to podcast yesterday, literally, and this is real too. I picked up the mics, I went to podcast, and I noticed my battery was running flat on my laptop, plugged it in. Where's the charge? There's no power. So hey, we're late. But here we are. It's actually changed the episode a little bit. We've got your questions coming up as well. But we had the match sim today, literally an hour ago it finished. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown on what I thought of that game. But first of all, thank you so much, everyone, for the continuous support. Thank you for the live show support. It is all sold out. I will be making a YouTube video of it. It won't be live streamed, unfortunately. I don't have that technological brain yet, but I'll be making a video of that event and then I'll post it a little bit later on. So, yeah, you'll all be able to see that. I think we may as well just get straight into this. You know, thank you for all the people who commented and wrote their questions in on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you don't follow any of those, please, Further North Pod, Further North Podcast, you'll find it. It's on all of those. I love your engagement, and we're basically going to do an old school question episode. You know, how did I forget the name of that? We haven't done one of these for a while. We did this in the season, haven't done any in the off season. Lots has happened. So you guys have written in some fantastic questions. So we're going to get to those straight after we talk about the match sim, because that is the pressing topic of that. So North Melbourne gave us a link all out to watch the live stream for members. And if you signed up, you get your link. And it was very, very interesting. I don't have specific stats. I can't remember the final score. It was like 150, 160 odd to like 70, 80 something, I think. But yeah, lots of swapping around. And I think the thing to remember, you know, with a match sim is every quarter the teams were changing. So I've just sort of more gone what I thought of individuals, but also there was some standout players who did switch sides, but I'll try and contextualize it as much as humanly possible. But we did start out with the blue and the yellow team, and the blue team was basically the 22 we'd want to be seeing, or as close to anyway. There was a few players who were on yellow, like I think Lazaro was on yellow in the first, Phillips, or maybe Lazaro was, maybe it was Phillips. There was a couple of players on the yellow team who would definitely be in the 22, but I guess they didn't want to do it too strong compared to 2 week. A couple of notable players that were injured. Luke McDonald, Hugh Greenwood, Paul Curtis, Aiden Corr, Bailey Scott, Sam Fisher, Taylor Goad, obviously Taron, Eddie Ford, and Griffin Logue. So those guys did not play. The commentator did say, though, that all those guys, except for Logue, look like they'll be able to make round one. So, yeah. Not too bad of an injury list, all little niggles and nothing too pressing for us to be concerned about, you know? I've got some notes here. I've got some notes. Got positives and negatives. Just like, look at me. This is my preseason as well, guys. I need to learn how to do all this sort of stuff again, just like it will be in the season. So, oh, by the way, when the season is back on, we'll be doing two podcasts a week again, a preview and a review. So, just like we did last season. The first note I've written down here for the game is LDU is class. He was the best player on the field today. There was lots of good standouts, but he was the best player on the field. He didn't even look like he was trying that hard, to be honest. He was just a step above everybody else. Did what he wanted, good disposal, strong in a contest, and yeah, didn't even look like he was at full capacity. There's a couple of times in the first quarter where I'm like, he's better than everybody, but he probably needs to try a bit more. Second quarter, the game really stepped up. I mean, it was a pretty even game in the first half where yellow and blue were pretty even, and I was getting a little bit concerned. But, hey, second quarter onwards, the better team ran away with it, and LDU sort of stepped up in that. So he was best on ground for me. Another positive note I've got here is Biggie and Chom a solid in defence. And I thought the defence all had their moments. I think Toby Pink had a very good first quarter and then maybe faded out a little bit. But Biggie was pretty solid all day. Made a mistake with one turnover in like the third quarter, which led to a goal. But other than that, he was intercepting plenty. So was Chom. Chom was crashing packs. His athleticism was on display and his tackling was on display. But Biggie cutting across the packs to intercept, I mean, he looked pretty good. They were the best two key defenders on the park for me. And I would be hoping to go with those two for round one, maybe with an Aiden Core. Callan Dawson looked pretty decent. He was solid and he definitely looks like he stepped up from last year. This is the first time I've really got to see a full match, play out. And I had my doubts about Callan Dawson. I wasn't mega impressed with him any time he's played, I guess. But he looked pretty solid down there as well. I do think Biggie and Chom are ahead of him. Just off that match sim, and from what I've been hearing in the preseason, Biggie's been doing well as well, and so has Callan, absolutely, but Biggie to me stood out much more over Pink or Dawson. Will Dawson actually played very, very well as well, so it's interesting. We don't have like an elite key defender at all, but we've got options, and I don't think any of our options are bad, you know what I mean? Are they good? I guess we'll see against actual AFL opposition when we play Collingwood next week. But Biggie and Chom in defence, really, really solid. I liked that combination of Chom crashing packs, intercepting, but also showing his athleticism and tackling pressure. And Biggie just drifting across packs. Looks like he's got a pretty safe pair of hands. And his disposal is pretty good, except for that one turnover. Here's a big one, guys. Here's a massive one that I heard was getting a little bit of buzz on Twitter. Tristan Jerry. That was the best Tristan Jerry game I've seen. Now, it's a intra-club friendly. Let's not get too carried away. But he absolutely dominated in the ruck, and he doesn't have soap for hands in this game, which is pretty wild. He actually played really, really well. And if he plays like that against Collingwood and St Kilda in the next two preseason games, then I'm more than happy for him to start in round one. And I'm starting to get a little bit excited. And maybe it's slowly turning on Tristan Jerry. I'm still incredibly skeptical and I still think what I believe about Tristan Jerry is correct. But you know how I've said to you guys on here plenty of times that Charlie Lazaro, I never believed in Charlie Lazaro until that game against the Gold Coast where he showed me what he can do on a football field. Tristan Jerry did that today. I'm skeptical because it was against mainly Finbar in the ruck. Coleman Jones played in the ruck against him a little bit and did better, but Jerry still had the best of him. I think Coleman Jones, we'll talk about Coleman Jones a little bit in a second, I guess, but he was a presence in the forward line. Maybe didn't come off exactly how he wanted, but I thought he was a decent second option up forward without making a massive impact, but I'd still be starting him there over a lot of other guys. Tristan Jerry, asterisk on it because it's intra-club, but best game I've seen him play, and if he can do anything like that on an AFL field, I'll slowly start to turn. He's got a massive way to go to prove that to me, but Tristan Jerry played a very, very solid game. So this is going to show everybody here that I'm not just super biased and I'm more than willing to change my mind on these players, just like Aiden Core. Aiden Core turned my mind around last year. Am I completely sold? No. He's got to do it for at least another half a season to make me trust that he should be playing every week. But if Jerry does what he did today and Core does what he did the last 2 months of the season, we've got a couple of players that can play AFL football. I just haven't seen Jerry do it in an actual AFL game. So if Jerry can do that in an AFL game, you'll see me slowly start to come around, but he's got a long way to climb. Good job, Tristan Jerry, though. I don't want to be too critical, and I always want to give players their flowers when they play well. So very, very good game by Tristan Jerry. Now this one excites me. McKercher off halfback. Wow. What a left foot. Imagine like if you mixed the agility or sidestep of Jai Simpkin with Harry Sheezel's disposal efficiency mixed with whichever bloke in the club can kick the furthest. This guy's got a leg on him and it's so accurate. He was fantastic. Halfback wing area. You couldn't tackle him. He hit every single target that he was aiming for. Yeah, really, really, really exciting. He's a lock, absolute lock for round one and absolutely has to start. So, yeah, I'm so excited about Kobe McKercher. put money down now on him winning the Rising Star. He looked clean, class, fantastic. The forward line worked well. Just to chat about the forward line a little bit. Yeah, I think everybody had their time up there. Jaden Stevenson played a fantastic game. There was a couple of moments in the third quarter, I think, where he tried to be a little bit too unselfish and kick it inboard and turn the ball over. But his first quarter and last quarter were very, very solid. He was pushing up onto the wing a little bit and doing what he had to do. I really liked Jaden Stevenson in this one. I thought he was really, really good. The forward line as a whole, I think Coleman Jones and Larkey got in each other's way like once, but other than that, they were sort of letting each other crash the pack and people were crumbing around the ball, which was really, really good to see. I mean, Zerha played very well and Dersma as well, which we'll get to in a second. But the forward line as a whole looked good. After we do all the positive and negatives, I'm going to go forward line, midfield, back line and just say how it worked. So I don't want to spoil this too much now, but they were a positive there. Another one, Charlie Lazaro. One of the best midfielders on the ground, one of the best players on the ground, especially first quarter. He looks incredibly fit and incredibly lively when he's around the ball. Him, for me, has definitely passed a Tom Powell to be able to play around one. I think Lazaro looks better, absolutely. He looked great. Clean disposal, picking the ball up the ground, overlapping handballs to be able to get people free, and he's quick and he wriggles out of danger very, very well. So, look, Charlie Lazaro did exactly what he did against the Gold Coast, and that's really, really exciting. Yeah, I am turning on Charlie Lazaro. I never doubted him. I just didn't think he'd probably make it into this team with the midfield depth, but all the chat has been, his preseason has been fantastic, and look, it showed. Absolutely, it showed. Sellers looks great up forward. He kicked 3 or 4 today. How is this guy not on our list? I just don't understand. He looked fantastic up forward partnering Larkey. He was better than Coleman Jones or getting more opportunities. I mean, I'd trust Coleman Jones to push up the wing and take a mark or take a mark in the forward line more. But because we do still kick it into our forward 50 without looking very much. So I think that's why I'm saying Coleman Jones is sort of needed up there to be able to take a contested mark. But Sellers on the lead and in front of goal, he was just finding space and people were hitting him. Get this guy out of the VFL and get him into our team ASAP, please. We need him. He looked great. The other one I'll touch on as well. I've read his name down here. Lowson, Sam Lowson, of course. He looked really, really good, really lively up forward as well, especially first and last quarter, especially the last, and the game slowed down a little bit and the lesser players sort of came into their own when some of the better players were off the ground, but he looks really good. These are two guys that I would love to see on our list. I know we've got one spot left. I don't know what the rules are with calling a player up from the VFL now. I don't know if you have to wait until the preseason draft. I guess they're in our VFL team, so surely we've got some sort of power there. But yeah, those two, get them in, especially Sellers. He continuously kicked goals in the VFL last year and people were calling for him to come in. And yeah, that game, I watched a little bit of VFL last year, but not every game, but he was a standout. He was the second best Zerha was better. We'll get to Zerha in a second. But yeah, he was always an option. I think he kicked 3 or 4. One that I liked was Goda down in defence as well. He seemed to be dropping back a little bit to like a back pocket instead of just being on the half back line, but his kick down the wing is massive. And he was really, really solid in defence. I like Josh Goda. I've always liked Josh Goda, but, you know, you need to keep improving and it's a new season, pre-season, more people are stepping up and he looks to have done that. So I really liked his game with his little bit of run and carry, but it was more his decision-making, you know, when it was further into the back line, sort of around the back pocket area, coming past for a handball, dishing off the handball to someone in space, making the right kick out of the back 50. Yeah, just looked like he's got smarter or more game awareness about him. So, yeah, I'm really excited for him this year. Now, one thing I did like is LDU, Braden George, and George Wardlaw, LDU, George Wardlaw and Jai Simkin in the midfield as a 3. That's our best midfield. I'm assuming Tarrant isn't going to be playing at the start of the season. So that's the three I want lining up in that midfield at the first bounce of the season. Simkin looks so fit. He looks fantastic. George Wardlaw maybe started a little bit quiet, but the second half, wow, he looks fierce. The tackles he was laying, chasing, the ferocity of the ball. Like, LDU and him were the two best midfielders for sure. LDU was on cruise control but still dominated. George looked like he wanted to kill everybody he was around on that field, and that's what I love about him. So, yeah, Simkin was classy, making good handballs, good decisions, dancing around people in the midfield, getting first use to our team. So that's the midfield three, 100%. Dersma must play round one. Dersma must play round one. We've got a lot of options up in that forward line. I know we've got like a Braden George. Eddie Ford hasn't had his preseason. You know, even Cooper Harvey, who was very, very good, and we'll speak about him soon. Dersma has to play. He kicked four, I think, three or four, was always a marking target. His athleticism, you know, he nearly took a hanger jumping over a pack in like the first quarter or something. Yeah, I loved what I saw from Dersma, and I know he's a rookie. He plays round one. This guy's too talented, and we just need to keep getting minutes into him. So, yeah, absolute lock for me personally for round one. And the last point in the positive before we talk about individual players a little bit more, we finally have penetrating kicks with Stevens, McKercher, and Gota. And this is the interesting thing I noticed, especially Stevens, who was he was quietish, but he's the moments he was around the ball, he was quite good. McKercher was a standout, and Gota was very good. But these guys have a pumping foot on them. They're going to kick at 50 metres, you know, off one step. And they're hitting targets, which is very, very good. And I'm thinking about it. We had Gota last year for a little bit, but McKercher and Stevens especially, getting those two players around the wing half back line, we're going to be sending that ball into our 50 very, very consistently. And that's something that I like, because we're going to get it across over the halfway line easier with those guys in the team, but it's going to be accurate, it's going to be precise, and hopefully the kicking into the 50 with players like Larky, like Zerha, leading in there. Jaden Stevenson was good at finding space today and getting opportunities. If those guys can be on the wing sort of area and hit those guys in the 50 instead of just bombing away, it's going to improve our side so much. I mean, that was, you know, my number one concern last season was, or not number one concern, I mean, we had so many concerns. But yeah, that was a massive, massive issue last year, was entry into the 50. And imagine if we could have hit Larky even more on the chest. The dude would have kicked 100. So look, I'm really excited about those guys and what they're going to bring to our team, because I think it's going to bring something to us that we haven't had for a very long time, to be able to bypass that midfield where we do turn the ball over and then it just gets run into the 50. I do really think that they'll be able to progress the ball further a lot more. If that defense can hold up like they did today, and once again, I know it's intra-club, but if they can sort of take those intercept marks and crash the packs, we seemed pretty good at crumbing, getting the ball out to those guys and progressing it forward quick. So let's go to a couple of negatives in here. Trying to play the ball very quickly led to poor disposal, especially in the first, and I think they need a little bit of time to warm up, but there was some pretty poor decision-making with some handballs, and we are trying to move the ball incredibly quickly, which excites me, and I don't want them to stop doing that, but that did mean a lot of turnovers, a lot of kicking quickly out of a contest or when you're getting pressured, and that did lead to turnovers or the ball going directly to an opposition player. So if we can tighten that up, and it's only preseason, so I'm sure we will, that will be fine. But there was a lot of turnovers in this game. Hospital handballs as well. I don't understand why we did that so much this game. Sorry, I'm looking awful right now. I haven't even had a shower today. For those on YouTube watching, you're welcome, making me check myself out here. Yeah, a lot of hospital handballs. Quickly, we're trying to move the ball quick, and I accept that, but there's a lot of time where we overlap around someone to someone who had a player on them, and it didn't end well. So that's just something to tighten up. The yellow team in the first quarter also kind of moved the ball cleaner than our better players, which was concerning, but the game turned after quarter time, so we don't have to worry about that one too much, because the better players ended up dominating by the end of the game. But I guess there's also one thing to say is like these players on the yellow team are probably pushing because they don't know that they're going to play. So that's probably what led to that. But they definitely moved the ball cleaner. Some of the better players might have been there on, you know, in second gear or something like that. But look, that's just a little point. I don't think we have to worry too much about that. We're sometimes too unselfish, especially Jaden Stevenson. I think in the forward line, you've got talent, mate. Like, kick the ball and kick the goal. He's trying to pass off a little bit too much. And there was other times around the ground where we maybe overhandballed a little bit when we could just progress the ball a little bit quicker. Do you know what I mean? Even just kicking it up the line, sometimes we overhandballed. Sometimes we're a little bit too unselfish, which led to turnover as well. So that's just something to tighten up. A negative that's not really a negative is Wardlaw got caught for holding the ball a lot. But that's because he's trying to take on players, and I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. LDU had that a lot last year, where he would try and take on players and get caught a lot, but we want those players to be taking on the opposition because they've got the skill to do so. So nothing too concerning there, just he got caught holding the ball a bit, but once again, was one of my best on ground. Yeah, I've already talked about this one. Stevenson kicking inside 50, too unselfish. Yeah, just kick the goal, mate. Just have a shot. I like that we're looking for other players because someone like a Zerha is sometimes a little bit too selfish. I called him Mesut Zerha last year for all those Arsenal or Premier League fans out there. When he had that one game near the end of the year, I think it was against the Bulldogs, where he was passing everything off and got a lot of assists. But yeah, there's a lot of times where I think Steve-O and a couple of other guys just kick the goal. Just kick it. You don't always need to be passing it off because it did lead to turnover. And the only other thing that interests me, which I think was a negative, but once again, nothing crazy, was ball no midfield minutes. I didn't see him at one centre bounce. Unless I missed one, I didn't see him in the midfield at all. Ball was fantastic up forward, but yeah, no minutes in the midfield for him. So I'm wondering if that is going to be a thing. Maybe with an emergence of a Charlie Lazaro in there. Tom Powell still played fairly well. Like Darcy Tucker was okay. He didn't stand out to me today. But maybe those guys have pushed for more midfield minutes and ball isn't going to go in there as much. So we'll see. Do we do individual players now? Yeah, let's do individual players. So I've written down my standouts for this, and there's a few here. So we'll go quickly on these ones. There's a few we already know, there's a few we don't. LDU, best on ground for me. Jaden Stevenson, fantastic first quarter, and then came back into the game a little bit later on, but I liked his movement in the forward line. Tristan Jerry, we've spoken about him. Fantastic game from him, but I need to see you do it in the AFL, sir. But if you can do that, the marks were the thing for me. He was holding the ball. He was marking the ball, which just took the pressure off. So keep – it's Helmet Jerry. This is hashtag Helmet Jerry, guys, because him with this helmet on after he fractured his eye socket, that's the best game I've seen him play. And if that makes him play like that, do not take that helmet off, Tristan. I will make sure of it. I'll come down to Arden Street myself and glue that thing on your head. Because if you play like that because of that helmet, which it has to have been, keep the helmet on and you'll be the All-Australian Ruckman. Charlie Lazaro, fantastic. We've talked about Biggie, fantastic intercepts, and looked pretty calm and composed all day. Charlie Combin, I liked their combination. We've talked about it. Sellers and Lawson, get these guys a contract. Talked about Wardlaw. Simkin, I think, needs a big, big year this year. And his preseason, it's really weird. Like, do we take much into preseason? Do we not? I don't know. But he looked really classy all day. And he looked like a captain. He just looked composed. He looked tough out there. I don't know. I think Marnie is correct with what we need in the middle, where Simkin needs to be in there because he's the captain. And I didn't disagree with Marnie at the time, but I think if Taran does play, he's probably better in the midfield. But Simkin looked fantastic. Let's talk about Zerha a bit. We haven't spoken about him as much. He kicked three or four once again. There was a lot of three or four goal kickers. I don't have the stats in front of me, guys. It's a preseason friendly. I apologize. He had plenty of options. He kicked like four goals, three or three goals, three. Yeah, looked classy. A little bit wayward in front of goal, but he was always finding space, crashing packs. His pressure was immense, like genuinely anytime he was around there. But him and Wardlaw are the two blokes on this team that you don't want to be near. Maybe Combin, throw Combin in there as well. You don't want to get tackled by these guys. If they're around the ball, it's very unlikely the ball's coming out the other way. I really liked what I saw from Zerha. you know, we got a few fan questions about Zerha after this, so maybe we won't dive into that too much. But I want him to be switched on and engaged. And his press conference, he was sort of giving you very standard AFL answers. And we're like, is he really loving being here? Him and Larky are having a good time out there. He kicked a bag. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Zerha. Surprised he didn't play more midfield. He still looked like classic bull. He didn't play any different with his weight loss as well, with that shredded rig of his. So still had the same sort of game, but maybe he can be a little bit more agile or, you know, pop up later in games instead of getting gassed. Nick Larky, I think he kicked two or three. He did what he did. Didn't stand out, I guess. He was really solid all day. Took a good couple of leading marks. Shrugged a tackle and kicked a goal. Yeah, he's just does what he does down there. You know, good shot in front of goal. Did miss one, but it looked pretty windy down there. But Larky, yeah, he's primed for All-Australian again. I don't know. I love that man. Dersma, athletic, kicked a few as well. Has to play around one. We did talk about him. Talked about McKercher a lot already. The last player I'll mention, Cooper Harvey. Looked, especially first and last quarter, looked really, really good. Good contested marks. Kicked a bunch as well. And his forward pressure was very, very good. That middle portion of the game where the blue team got on top, he sort of drifted out a little bit, I would say. But when he was on the yellow team, which I think was the first and the last quarter, he was definitely one of the better players for them. So I think he's making a case for round one as well. I don't know if he'll quite get it, but with all the options and with someone like Zerha, and definitely think Dersma was better today, but Harvey was also very, very good. He's putting pressure on with guys like Eddie Ford and whatnot coming back. You never know. So, look, well done, Cooper Harvey. So let's talk about the forward line, the midfield and the defence. Forward line functioned very well. Every forward sort of did their thing, especially Sellers and Zerha. They were probably the two best. With a Dersma and a Jaden Stevenson doing very well. Larky's in there solid. I think Coleman Jones didn't probably have the best game today, but he looks fit. He was jumping at packs. He always brought the ball to ground, and he took a couple of nice marks as well. So I would have liked to see a little bit more because we all know I'm a Coleman Jones believer. But yeah, probably wanted to show a little bit more from him. But not a bad game, not a good game. I'd say quite a neutral game. Who else really went forward? I mean, yeah, there wasn't much more. Blake Drury, actually. Let's talk about Blake Drury. I don't think Blake Drury's going to make the round one squad. I kind of don't want him to. I don't think he's quite there. I think he needs to really perform in the VFL. But he kicked a lot of points, but he was finding space in that forward line and taking marks. I still don't know where his best position is because he kicked a lot of points. And he got free in the forward line to take some marks. But other than that, didn't do too much. But he was another option up in the forward line. I just don't really trust him to be consistent up there. But, yeah, a decent display from him. They're mainly the guys who are up forward anyway. I think the forward line was making good leads into pockets of space and not getting in each other's way. And the players that we wanted to get the ball got the ball in the right spots. Bull, Steve-O, Larky, they were all in the correct spots. Dersma was playing quite deep in the forward line as well. He would be leading out of the forward pocket and sort of marking that 30 to 40 meter out range and just showing his athleticism. So I like that no one really got in the way. I would have loved to see Greenwood and Paul Curtis in there. Greenwood having a bit of time up forward and just Paul Curtis making more chaos. Eddie Ford as well. But look, our forward line functioned pretty well. And when it progressed forward, we were finding options. There wasn't as much bombing the ball into the 50, which I think is good. Midfield, that midfield trio dominated of Simkin, Wardlaw and LDU. Really good job by Jerry getting them first use of the ball. The difference with Jerry I saw is he's tapping the ball into space with the outlook of someone running onto it. Like, I feel like last year he was just tapping because he won a lot of hitouts last year and he's clearly strong and he's clearly getting first use of the ball. That was never my issue with him. It was more he'd tap the ball and it'd go straight to the opposition or in front of an opposition player to run on and he'd take our players out of the game. But this game, he was putting the ball in areas for our midfielders to be able to run and get a little bit of space. So I think they really worked well. Lazaro running through there was great. Would have loved to see Zerha in there a little bit more. But, yeah, and Tom Powell did what he did. Once again, he was sort of like Coleman Jones for me. Obviously not how they play, but, yeah, not bad wasn't a standout, but solid enough. And the defense, yeah, I was surprised with the defense. Biggie really impressed me. Chom really impressed me. I've talked about them enough. I guess we'll talk about the other guys. Goda, really, really good. I'd love to. Jackson Archer was another one that didn't play. I forgot to write him down. Sorry, guys. I just think they were solid as a group. Callan Dawson did what he needed to do. Didn't shine for me over those other two, but he looks like another decent option. And Toby Pink's first quarter was very, very good. It was interesting to see who was playing on who. Will Dawson started on Larky, and I thought he held his own. He looked really, really good. Definitely slight, and definitely is going to start VFL, and I would play the other guys over him. I reckon he looks like a really good prospect. Give us 3 years with him getting him sort of Larky build. He's 200 centimetres. Like, I think we might have a little player there. A very tall defence as well, but when the ball hit the ground, it's almost like McKercher and Sheasel, actually. Let's talk about Sheasel. We haven't barely spoken about Sheasel. I don't know if he was one of the best on the ground. He probably was. I think maybe that's a bit harsh on Sheez. He was incredibly clean through the middle of the game. I think first and last quarter didn't do heaps for me, and he seemed to be pushing up in the midfield a bit more. But then they moved him sort of back down, so it was McKercher, Dersma, and Sheasel. I keep saying Dersma, off half back. And it was almost like those guys were getting around the pack when all the bigger guys were spoiling the ball. But because Chom and I guess Callan Dawson's pretty athletic as well, and Biggie got in and under the packs a little bit, they'd bring it to ground, they'd crumb the ball, and if we got the ball out to Sheasel or McKercher or Goda, it was very, very good progression of the ball out of the back line. So, yeah, I sort of liked that setup. Chom was sort of half back, Biggie was sitting full back, and yeah, the other guys were just sort of manning up and crashing packs when they needed to. But I really liked that Chom and Biggie matchup, or that combo. I don't know. I think I've almost been sold on that, with an Aiden Core playing alongside them as well. I think that they're the three I'd go with. And I think Sheasel, I was massive on Sheasel playing midfield and forward this season. He looked really good off that back line. So with a Fisher coming back, and, you know, Bergman is another one to talk about. He had his moments today, Bergman, maybe not standing out as much, but I don't feel like he's making the round one squad after that performance. We'll see how he goes in the next two games, but his disposal was decent enough, but still looks a little bit inexperienced. He took a few decent marks, sort of halfback area, but the other guys were definitely better. But yeah, I'm trying to give you you guys the best analysis possible. I've sort of watched the game, written a few notes, but that's about it, and I'm sort of reacting pretty quickly afterwards. So sorry if I'm jumping around everywhere, but these are just my thoughts. So a backline as a whole, yeah, we don't have heaps of forwards to really match up on, I guess. And when we did move all of our best forwards in the forward line, especially second half, they dominated. But yeah, those defenders with a bigger defense and those midfielders pushing back to drive us forward, I really, really liked that. And maybe we do go with a slightly taller defense because we've got the athleticism of Biggie, Chom, and Agoda down there to get it to McKercher and Sheasel. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting, especially with those other guys coming back. All right, that's basically the analysis, guys. I don't really have too much more to say. I think, yeah, there's a few players in there that I really, really like the look of. You know, that maybe didn't impress me quite as much as I thought. But, yeah, I think the biggest ones would be Jerry's standout for me. McKercher looks fantastic. Wardlaw, LDU, Simpkin midfield looks brilliant. And our defence kind of looks okay. It doesn't look incredibly shaky. I think, you know, Clarko building that defence when he had, like, a Brian Lake, who's not the most athletic and best defender ever, but he made it work with other guys, sort of like a Luke Hodge coming back in defense and that sort of stuff back in the day. So maybe he's going to go full Clarko brain, and we're going to see a better defense than we think. I don't know. Anyway, what will we do now? We have a couple of voice messages, guys. Thank you to those guys who are still sending voice messages in. If you don't know, you can always send me a voice message and I'll play it on the pod if it's something that's relevant to what's going on. furthernorthpod@gmail.com. If anyone wants to send me any voice messages, remember, this is going to be a thing all year. Every single game, I'm going to get you guys to send in a 10 to 15 second voice message to this email, and I'll get your reactions to what you thought of the game all through the season. So thank you to those guys who have still sent in some voice messages. Let's have a look at this one from Brighton Isles. Now, I was meant to play this last week and I definitely did forget, but this is calling back to the episode a couple of weeks ago when me and Marnie did our best 23s. Marnie's not here today. Is it a little bit dog that I am playing this without her being here to back herself up? Maybe, but hey, let's see what she thinks next week when she's here.
Hey Josh, hey Marnie, it's Brighton Isles here. Just sending a post-react message from your Best 23 podcast. Mm. Great work once again, you two. Loving the podcast right now.
Thank you, Brighton.
That is wild.
It is
wild. Like, both your teams are just so different to how I picture North moving into 2024 for round one. Obviously, we've got injuries. Obviously, we've got such a variety of players to choose from. I have to give Josh the chocolates on this one, Marnie. I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir.
Josh's team just seems a lot more balanced,
correct,
a lot more refined, and it just looks to be more flexible. And I think flexibility is probably our best trait next to our midfield depth.
Yeah, incredibly true. Thank you, Brighton, for that one. I absolutely took the chocolates there. Did I give Marnie a couple of hours or an hour at most to sort of team out? Yes, so let's give Marnie a little bit of a break, but I would have absolutely taken that out anyway. It is interesting, isn't it? Because like Brighton said there, we've all got incredibly different opinions on how we would, you know, put the 22 together. And it's really interesting to see. I know people that obviously don't feel the same way about Jerry or about Core that I do. But there's also like CCJ is a player I like and think he can make an impact, but a lot of people don't like him. There's a lot of different opinion here, and I think it's really cool that we're getting that depth to be able to have this discussion. As long as we always keep it respectful and no bad comments. But, thank you for that message, Brighton, and let's see how Marnie reacts when she listens to this. Speaking of Marnie, actually, before we go to the next voice message, shout out Hugh Greenwood for shouting out Marnie on the live stream today. Hugh Greenwood basically commentated a quarter and Luke McDonald did the second quarter. Hugh Greenwood did the third. And Hugh Greenwood, right at the end of the third quarter, shouted out Marnie on the Further North podcast. Not specifically, just North Melbourne podcast in general. And Marnie's reaction to that, I got a call with her in hysteria, losing her mind because her favourite player ever has been thinking about her on the live broadcast. So, Hugh Greenwood, if you ever listen to this, you're an absolute legend. You absolutely made her day, my friend. Campaigning to get the interview of Marnie and Hugh Greenwood on the Further North podcast. We're going to start that now. Anyway, here is the last voice message for the day. We're here for Gobshites Anonymous again. We love Gobshites around here. Fan favourite.
Okay, pressing question for the Further North podcast. On the last episode on YouTube, Marnie rocked up looking like B1. I'm talking about Banana One, who is mostly famous for being half of the famous kids duo, Bananas in Pajamas.
That's true. She did.
So, it got me thinking, will we ever see any matching fits this year between yourself and Marnie? Mm. I saw this as a real missed opportunity for you to go as B2. Maybe you could get two matching North Argentina jumpers circa 2009. Just food for thought.
Thank you.
Thanks for the laughs.
Thank you, Gobshites Anonymous, local correspondent from over in Perth. Hopefully he's sorting out the fake Marnie merch situation over there at the markets. Hopefully that's going well for you, Gobshites. Please update me on your work over there to take down cartel style what is going on down at the Western Australian markets down there. The counterfeit merch is not okay. Could we do a matching fit, me and Marnie? I think we can absolutely do that this year. Send me your ideas for us to dress as something. I haven't spoken about this on the podcast before. A few weeks ago, someone wrote in the comment section of one of the first YouTube videos that I'm going to tell my kids that me and Marnie are Harry and Meghan. And I was like, what does he mean? And I looked for a second. I was like, because I'm a redheaded bloke and she's tanned, dark hair like Meghan Markle. And I think that is just the best thing I've ever heard. Whoever commented that, if you're listening, I've got so many laughs out of that. Are we the Harry and Meghan of, you know, North Melbourne land? This is fantastic. I can't believe people are looking at us on a video and think that straight away. I think it's so funny. So shout out to whoever said that, and you're an absolute legend. You've given me so much good content and ideas. Fantastic. Anyway, thank you for all the voice messages. Remember, furthernorthpod@gmail.com if you want to send them in. Watch on YouTube as well. I do the videos now for anyone who's still just listening audio. Further North Podcast on YouTube. You guys know what it is. All right, let's go to some questions that you guys have sent in. So we have here the _draft guru. Draft guru. Ooh, rivaling Joel for draft guru. Interesting. They say, which players should we target from other teams? Now, this is a tough one. I think it's probably a little bit early to be talking about targeting players. Specific players, I'm probably not ready to chat about just yet. I want to see how the year goes. But at the moment, let's go from the match sim. Where do I think we still have a weakness? I do think it's backup. Key forward, I would like to see CCJ play that role. Zerha played it fairly well, but once again, a different type of player to a Larky. I just want Larky's number two key forward. And if a Coleman Jones doesn't come on this year, which it's probably 50-50, but I do believe that's the sort of player we need to target for me. The obvious other one is a Ruckman. But once again, if Jerry plays like he did today and can build into the season, maybe we don't. With someone like Taylor Goad coming through, maybe he'll develop and Jerry can hold it down for a few years. I don't know. As for key defense, the only recruitment in key defense we need, I would say, if we can get our best key defender via trade or something like that, I would absolutely do it. We've got a couple more questions in here that go with this theme. Which free agent would you prefer to go after, Tim English or Logan McDonald? That is from Brighton as well. For me, Tim English, I think. Now, it would definitely be Tim English. Jerry's game was fantastic today. All credit to Tristan Jerry, but I need to see it through the season. So I would say Tim English would be the biggest one for us. Logan McDonald, yeah, I'm not, like, he's good when he plays, but Logan McDonald is quite injury prone, I think, he just doesn't play enough games for me. So both of them, I guess, but if I had to pick one, Tim English. We've also got a question from Brad Jamison on Facebook, and this is all along this different players theme. If mid-season trade period kicks off, who do you think will be our first trade out, and what sort of player would you like to shop for/ might be available? In terms of trade out, I think Tom Powell is the safest bet. If a Trent McKenzie found himself on the outer at Port, I think he'd be a great vet for our backline. Bonus question, who makes the best 23 for round one between Goto, Bergman, Dawson? I'm assuming Callan Dawson here, so I'm going to assume that, not Will Dawson, because he's very young. We did have one more question about the mid-season trade period. So let's bunch these together. Don't worry, Brad, I'll come back to your question here. Chad Cole, there was recent talk again of mid-year trade season, which will now be postponed until 2025, the conversation anyway. What's your thoughts on the topic? Chad says, I believe we invest so much as fans in the preseason and have too much passion in the whole playing group to let an individual leave for a different team within the season. So we'll address this one first and go back to Brad's. I'm all for a mid-season trade period. I don't disagree with you that we invest a lot, Chad, in the preseason, but think about last season with all the injuries we got. Someone like, what's that defender from the D's that never plays? Oh, I've completely... You guys know who I'm talking about. The defender from the D's who never plays. Tom McDonald? Is it Tom McDonald? Someone like that who just doesn't get in the squad could come into North and play every single week. And guys like a Tom Powell or like a Lazaro last year, who maybe are on the outer a little bit, as of last year, not after this game, obviously. Could we flip someone where we've got a lot of half forwards, we've got a lot of midfielders for a key position player? I think we might have won a couple more games at the end of the season if we're able to get a couple of players in mid-season. I'm all for mid-season trade period. They need to do it now. Like, trades and free agency and that sort of stuff, as much as it's new-ish still, it's 10 years old or whatever, trades have been around forever, but like free agency, that stuff in overseas sports dominates. So, look, I'm all for it. AFL needs to be a 24/7, 365 conversation to be relevant with social media. That's why the NRL is not relevant and it dies. Like, NRL doesn't have draft, trades, any of that sort of stuff. They just all sign contracts. So the AFL is obliterating NRL in off-season stuff, but we absolutely need a mid-season trade period. I think it can help so many teams to fill a gap when we clearly have one, or injuries. Imagine if a big player went down for us. Imagine if Larky went down in the forward line and we had plenty of midfielders there who we could spare. We can go get, even if Tom McDonald did play both ends of the ground for the Ds. Yeah, I think we absolutely need it. To go back to Brad's, what sort of players do we need? I guess it's similar to what I said before. Just key positions. That's what we need at the moment for depth. I'm not quite as stressed about the back line now after watching that preseason game, and I'm not overreacting to a preseason game, but it looks like we've got a bunch of decent options, and if one can step up to be, like, I think Charlie absolutely has the ability in the back line to be an All-Australian defender one day. Maybe he could, get up to that sort of point. As for Goda, Bergman, Dawson, Goda. After that game today, I think Goda. Dawson is probably behind Biggie for me. Just, I think he played very solid and had a good preseason. But Goda for me, out of those three, absolutely looks the clearest. Mainly because there's not as much in his position. I guess there is Fisher to come back, but Goda looked the best out of those three today. And I think there's more key position jostling for positions in defence than there is for like a Goda in a back pocket, because a Jackson Archer probably isn't going to make the round one squad. And Luke McDonald coming back from a hamstring. He said he probably could have played today, but is Goda going to be or have a better run out? Thank you for the questions, guys. Sorry I'm bunching a few up together, but they're all sort of relevant. Anyone who wrote in and I don't get to your questions as well, I'm really, really sorry. We got so many questions and I just tried to pick ones that all sort of scattered around in different positions that I thought were a good talking point. But keep writing your questions in. Don't give up, because I will get to you, and I try. I remember names pretty well, and I am going to try and do as many different people as possible. If you're a regular and been here commenting since day one, I will show you love as well, so don't worry about that. On Instagram, SimonGat18, does Dersma play round one? Absolutely, 100%. I'm not all about going with experience. I guess for those who listened to the best 23 episode with me and Marnie went for a little bit more experience, where I went for more potential. So Dersma has more potential than a lot of players who we could be putting in that forward line, who might be more solid now, but he's looked really good. He's been kicking goals for fun. Zav_Papa says on Instagram, who's having a standout year? Who's the player that's going to have a standout year? You've got the obvious ones, like LDUs, like Wardlaws. If you want an underdog, I think Lazaro or a Goda. They're the two that I've got on my mind. Lazaro looks really good, and he's probably the one from last year to this year that looks the most different. So, yeah, I'm saying Lazaro. Orangetree 005, which of Brent Harvey's two career hitouts is your favorite? Definitely number two. Definitely number two. I think at that point we knew that there wasn't going to be many of those. So we all remember number two very, very clearly, and I definitely found them and looked them up. Thank you for the question. Kevin Frost 59. How many wins does Zerha want to stay? I have said this for a while. My gut tells me Zerha's done and he's gone. I don't think he's going to pack it in. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he cares about the club. But I think Zerha's got a bit of a strut about him. He's got a bit of an ego, not in a bad way, but I think he wants to play finals and he maybe wants to play for a slightly bigger club. So, look, I hope I'm wrong. I love Zerha, and I hope you sign a big contract and play great footy and finals footy for North Melbourne. Stay with your mate Larky. But if I'm going to put a number on, I think if we won seven or eight, say eight games, I think he stays. If we do under that, I don't know if it's going to be enough of a jump for him. I'd be happy with six, and I think that's a massive improvement for us this year, but I don't know if he's on the same boat as that. Similar question here, Kevin Frost 59 again, who plays more games, Goethe or Bergman? Goethe. Bergman looked a step below today. Goethe looked like he fits in the first team. So Goethe for sure, definitely. I love Miller Bergman, and I think I put him in my 23, I think, or maybe I just dropped him to the bench. But Goethe today convinced me that he's the guy. Joseph underscore Baines 27. How many teams are beatable this year and who are they? Beatable for us. Let's go that. West Coast, absolutely. Hawthorn, absolutely. The most overrated team in the entire league, Hawthorn. Comfortably bottom four. We have so much more talent than them. And North Melbourne, a hot take, North Melbourne will finish above Hawthorn this year. I'm going to die on this hill. I could probably be absolutely wrong, but hey, you want a hot take? There's my hot take. Fremantle are beatable. I'm thinking Richmond would be beatable. Yeah, that's probably it for us. I think the Gold Coast could be beatable too. I'm not as high on the Gold Coast as everybody else. I'd say for us, we need to win the games against those teams. I'm going to put the Gold Coast in there because Dimmer dogged the Tigers. He's lucky he won those premierships because otherwise he'd never be able to step foot down Swan Street again. Yeah, lock West Coast, lock Freo, lock Hawthorn. Yeah, Richmond is a tough one, but I think we can, and the Gold Coast is probably even tougher, but I think we can. We'll get other wins this season. We'll be better this season, but they're the ones for me. Brian Niles, in lieu of Valentine's Day, which is today, happy Valentine's Day, all my podcast lovers. Is Marnie Cohen and you something of an item? Brian Niles, look, North power duo, he said at the end there. We are a power duo, absolutely. Are we an item? That's going to be left in the North Melbourne ether, and that is for you guys to decide. Look, ask Marnie. That is TBA on that one. And yeah, look, I'll let you guys figure that one out. The Shinboners underscore pod. If you haven't listened to the Shinboners pod, get over there on Spotify, I believe. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no? Yes, absolutely. Are people serious about not liking pineapple on pizza? Because I feel like it's a bit of a joke and people are just saying it to, you know, take the piss a little bit. You know what I mean? You don't just put like a bunch of wet pineapple on top of the pizza. You cook it and it gets half cooked. So it's still juicy, but it's not wet everywhere on your pizza. It's delicious. Balancing sweet and savory, maybe just not making the pizzas right, I would say, if you don't like pineapple on pizza. On every pizza, no. But you want, if I had to eat one pizza for the rest of my life, give me a Hawaiian. Is this the white boy response? Absolutely. But I like other pizzas better, but I could eat that one every single, that's the most consistent for me. So come at me in the comments. Brighton underscore Isles also says, who will have the better year at North, Phillips, Powell, Lazaro? It's out of Phillips and Lazaro for me. Powell, out of those three, I think is the third on that list. Once again, played solid enough, but there is too much depth. Phillips has more potential for me than Powell. This year, at the moment, I think I've got to say Lazaro. He was so good today. So, so good. But I want to see a massive year from Phillips too. But I'll put Lazaro just over Phillips. The underscore draft guru, which players should we target from other teams? Probably too early for that one just yet. I know I could tell you positions, exact players. We might be able to do a little bit more halfway through the year. What else have we got here? Jay Barto 98. What player did you think was really good when you were younger, but turns out they're bad? I don't think they were bad. Here's the one that always comes to mind for me. And once again, I don't think they're bad, but maybe I overrated a little bit, which I don't believe I overrated them, but I think if you ask the North fans, they would say they're overrated. Sean Attlee, I loved Sean Attlee. Every time he started running and kicked, not kicked because his disposal was questionable sometimes, but when he would run down the wing and take a bounce, I'd get so excited. I loved Sean Attlee. Nathan Thompson is another one. I loved what Nathan Thompson did for us, and he was one of my first ever favorite players. But looking back, was he like one of the best key forwards in the game like I thought he was? Maybe not. Corey Jones, I love Corey Jones so much. He's so nostalgic for me. But, you know, maybe not quite the player that I thought he was at the time. Hamish McIntosh, I could throw him in there as well. Liam Anthony, like he sort of just disappeared. I thought he was really good, but then all of a sudden he was just off the list. So there's a few names, but I think Sean Attlee would top that list for me. Not that I think he wasn't good. I really like Sean Attlee and I think he was a good player, but I think other people, maybe I'm a little bit biased because I just liked him, you know. Tori McGaffin on Facebook, do we want more GoPro action at training? I personally love it and would love to see more. Yes, the more content the club does to make us feel closer to the club, the better. The thing about North that we love is that they're smaller and we feel like we're more connected. Do Collingwood fans really think they're more connected to this big franchise of a club than we are to North? No, we're not. Like, they're not, sorry. We are. We are absolutely more connected. As an example, Bay 29 last year, Sonia and Jen coming down to the Bay just to hang out with a bunch of delinquent bogans down there, which was all the best people in the world. You're not getting that from a Collingwood, from a Richmond, from a Carlton. You get that at North Melbourne. Those are the things that lock us into the club. So the more GoPro action, the more we get to know about the players' personalities and how the club runs, how passionate these guys are about the club, the better. So absolutely 100% yes. Jesse Stevenson, have a look at the match sim highlights. Big Chom is clunking everything down back. I think our defense won't be as bad as everyone thinks it will be. Also, all aboard the Tucker Box. Hashtag Tucker Box, guys. First goal scorer against Giants round one. Wowee. Okay, a couple of things to unpack there. Yes, I do believe that now after the intra-club, and this was a few days ago, so this was said before the intra-club match. Jesse maybe knows something that we don't. But the back line did look and function a lot better than I thought. Chom was crashing packs and clunking. Biggie was floating across and taking intercept marks. Aiden Corr in there will give us a bit of stability with disposal, and Goda, Sheezel, McKercher off that half back line looked really, really solid. So, look, do I think they'll be good against actual AFL opposition? I'm still skeptical, but are they going to be better than maybe we originally thought? Absolutely. I think there's a chance. Everyone put bets on Darcy Tucker scoring the first goal in round one against the Giants too. Jesse has confirmed it here first. Jesse, I want to see the screenshot of your multi with that bet in there for round one, okay? Don't be commenting things and not backing it up financially, sir. So, look, I think give me the screenshot and I think they will be better. Glenn Lavender, forget our traditional field positions and consider a team that is designed primarily for run and gun. How does this change your lineup from who forms our running linking players from D50 to forward 50? Forget defensive abilities for now. If you had to build a team to run all day, who are they and where do they play? I think we've kind of got that team already. Like, I was thinking about this, and McKercher, Sheezel, Goda off half back. I think Aiden Corr and Callan Dawson can run out of the back line. I guess take out Chom, take out Biggie, and just put Corr and Dawson as our two key defenders, and I think they are decent at disposal and running out of the back line. Everyone else in the back line, I think, is pretty good at that. Everyone else in the midfield, I think, is good at that. We've got the two wingers, Bailey Scott and Dylan Stevens. Maybe make a midfield of like Lazaro, McKercher, just pure speed. As for the forward line, obviously no Jerry. Greenwood in the ruck would fit into that as well. I don't know. I think we've got a pretty run-and-gun team anyway. Maybe bin off Larky and just do Zerha and bring up Sellers into the forward line. Or, you know, maybe Paul Curtis plays a key position up forward. That's all I can really think of off the top of my head. I should have done a little bit more research on this. But I think we've got a pretty run-and-gun team with how we played today. I think we do have that. Noah Wiggins, have you ever done one of those AFL ladder predictor things? I'd be very curious on what your results would be for next year. I did an AFL official one and had us sitting 16th with 6 wins. Not sure if that is enough to keep Zerha around. I've never done one, but maybe that's a good episode idea. Maybe I will get into that. I think sitting 16th with 6 wins is pretty realistic. So it sounds like that's kind of where I think we're going to end up. I don't see us out of the bottom 4. I'd love it, of course, but I don't see us out of the bottom 4 and I see us around 6 wins, which I don't think is going to be enough to keep Zerha. So, look, at least we've got some depth in that forward line, but Yeah, if Zerha goes, that's not good. But yeah, it sounds like, Noah, your ladder prediction is quite accurate. Richie White says, will Toby Pink get a hand pass from McKercher to sink a massive goal from outside 50 to win a game? Sounds like there's a specific moment you're calling back to here, Richie. And are you trying to tell me that McKercher is the Kane Turner of 2024? Because that's what I'm picking up from this. Is Toby Pink the Aiden Core of 2024? Probably more likely than McKercher being the Kane Turner. No, I'd say... Oh, I don't want to be mean to any players. Say you throw in a Miller Bergman off half back or something like that and they overlap it to, you know, yeah, give us Toby Pink or Will Dawson or someone and they win the game. I think that could absolutely be that moment. Who are the mean players this year? We don't have Kane there as well. Who's the people's champ? I don't know. There's going to have to be a new people's champ step up. I kind of hope that everyone's too good to be that guy this year. But hey, there's still one list spot left. Kane could come back. Jared Lane says, I've just started dating someone in September. All dating advice you guys need as well, you let me know because I'm so good at dating and, you know, helping everybody out. I can fix everyone's love life with my own. I'm joking. There's a little lady hanging around right now, guys. You'll get introduced to her one day. Get to Bay 29. She'll be down there. I've just started dating someone in September and I'm worried she will leave me when football season comes along. It's a risk we have to take, Jared. Do you feel the transformation of from Jekyll and Hyde when the real stuff comes around? And do I need a Zen Zen code or mantra that can help soothe my inner Kanga beast? Discussion on how North's performance impacts daily well-being and human interaction. Look, this is deep and this is what the Further North podcast is all about. We go deep. I'd say the relationship, if it's new, this is the test. And for me as well, when football season comes around, is the lady that I've been seeing the last, you know, month or two, is she going to stay around? Does she understand that North is my love? And I have an excuse. I say I have to do the podcast about it. But for the people out there who don't have a North podcast, who just love it, this is a test and it's a relationship test. Jared, if she doesn't like that you're watching the football every weekend, then it's not meant to be, sir. It's not meant to be. The Jekyll and Hyde transformation when the real stuff comes, we'll see. I mean, look, am I getting overhyped on a preseason friendly? Maybe, but that's all we've got to go off. I mean, we're playing Collingwood, then St Kilda. I feel like that's going to be the real test. Are we going to look great in those and then... come and be shocking in the actual games? Maybe. So we'll see. Is some sort of Zen or mantra going to tame the Kanga beast? Nothing can. Kanga, Kanga, Kanga is too passionate of a chant and almost like an exorcism, I think that is, for our demons in the bay. So every time we chant Kanga, 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 the spirits will leave your soul. And I think we already knew that. Is a Kanga beast going to burst out of your chest alien style and we will have to employ a couple of Men in Black employees to dismantle that Kanga beast coming out? Possibly, but that's why Bay 29 is here, guys. It's a safe space for every single person. Over to Twitter now. Only a couple left, guys, and then we're going to hang it up here. Daniel Pell on Twitter. More of an idea than a question for you and Marnie Cohen. Each week on the podcast, you do an AFL footy tipping comp between each other, including margin. But the margin is only for each North Melbourne game. Loser at the end of the year has to do a challenge slash task agreed upon before season starts. Not a bad idea. I'm going to write that down and we're going to put that to Marnie next week. I like the input. Any ideas you guys have for the podcast too, please send them through. It's your podcast as much as mine. So we're all in it together. Patrick Aylward says, one, how is our depth looking after the trade slash draft period? What should our expectations be for the two preseason pracky matches be? X is a good tap ruckman. Why are so many using him as a whipping boy? Ridiculous, in my opinion. In my humble opinion, he says. Okay, let's go to number one here. How is our depth looking after the trade period? Better than years gone by. Every position but key forward and key positions, sorry, not good. If Larky goes down, we're not even going to kick 40 points in a game. Key defense, better than I thought last week with how they played today. Ruckman, not much. Tristan Jerry impressed me today, but once again, could he be Tristan Jerry of old? Absolutely. So, yeah, key forward and ruck depth is appalling. Other than that, I think we're okay. The only key position I would bring in if we it would be a defender, and only if that defender was instantly going to be our best defender. Let's go to the Jerry one because we touched on him then. A good tap ruckman. He's a good tap ruckman, but he can't tap it to our team. That's the problem. So he was tapping everything to our team and putting it into space in this game like we've talked about. So if he can do that, I've never had a he's always been able to get to the ball. That's not been his problem. He doesn't mark it. He doesn't tap it to our team ever. So he's a whipping boy because he doesn't give our team first use, and he will drop an easy mark on the wing and then turn the ball over and it runs back against us. Once again, I know I'm harsh on Tristan Jerry and other people aren't. I don't know how people think Tristan Jerry isn't or shouldn't be a whipping boy, because he's by far maybe the most skeptical or dodgy player we've got. But I'm hoping that his preseason game today is what Tristan Jerry will be. So let's see. And what should our expectations for the two preseason Pracky matches be? We're not going to beat the Pies, but it's really good to come up against a team or like the best team in the league. They're the benchmark. I would rather lose a preseason game but come up against a really good team to see where we're at than go and play West Coast and we win, but we barely came up against an AFL team. So, yeah, I think we just want to see performance by our best players and our game plan come together. We want that run and gun style to work against the Pies. Against the Saints, let's go for the win. Let's absolutely go for the win. Let's find our best 23. Let's put them out there and go for the win against the Saints. So I'd like a win against the Saints. I'd like a strong performance regardless of result against the Pies. Joe Baines, does and can Nick Larkey kick 100? Nick Larkey absolutely can kick 100. If we get better entry inside that forward 50, yes. Will he, like... I want someone else to step up in this forward line, so I hope he doesn't quite get as many goals in a way. Like, I'd rather him get 60 goals and then Paul Curtis pop up with 40. Or Zerha have 40. Steve-O kick 30 and push in the midfield a bit. Other contributors. That's what I would rather prefer, to be honest. But I'd say if Larky kicks 100, we're either the best team in the league or no one else is kicking goals. So let's see. James McPherson, assuming money is no object, which opposition player coming out of contract are you throwing the kitchen sink at? I'm still going to go Tim English like that last question before. I don't know what key defenders are on the market personally. I haven't done enough research just yet, guys. We'll talk about all this later in the year, but give me Tim English right now. I liked Jerry's game today and well done to Tristan Jerry. I hope that's what he brings in the season. But Tim English can run all day. He can mark. I think he's decent in front of goal. He's a very good modern ruckman without losing what a ruckman is. So give me Tim English at this point. And the final question is from North Pod. Once again, another good North Melbourne podcast to check out. Who's the podcast host pet for this year? Who can do no wrong? Look, I think there's a few players that can do no wrong. I don't think Sheezel. I think he's the one for me. Sheezel can do no wrong. With what he gave us last year, there's nothing that he can do wrong. And even if he has shockers and his first half of the year is shocking, we're going to continuously back him. I feel like the other one might be Wardlaw, just because we know what talent they've got. I'd put Charlie Comben in that bracket too because we all want him to do so well and he's had such a bad injury run. So give me Sheezer number one. Give me Chom number two. I think Chom will be the people's champ by the end of the year. Speaking of Chom as well, he's coming to the live show. So thank you, Charlie, again for coming along. It's going to be a great day. We've got lots of stuff lined up for that. Just a reminder for the live show as well, doors are going to open at 1 o'clock. Bonehead Brewing in Kensington for those who have tickets. Get down there at 1 o'clock, have a couple of bevvies. We're going to be down there chatting to you guys, and then the podcast will start a little bit after that. So get down 1 o'clock, Bonehead Brewing in Kensington, and sample the local drop down there because it is actually very, very nice. I think that's all there is, guys. Thank you so much for your questions. Sorry the podcast was delayed again. I'm on Optus, so I didn't even have my phone working for 12 hours and no power whatsoever. I've got a mate of mine up here who's actually another massive North fan, but we're going to Blink tonight. We've gone to see a band called North Lane. We've gone to the Melbourne Victory. We've done heaps of stuff all week. So it's been a pretty bad week for me being able to get time to do this, but we've made it work. I don't know exactly what day this will be at. Hopefully Wednesday. And then, yeah, I think Marnie will be back on the podcast next week to do a probably a review of the game or a preview, depending on what day it's on, and maybe a ladder prediction as well. So looks pretty good. But, yeah, all the socials, guys, thank you so much. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I have YouTube now. Get on YouTube. Thank you for the support on YouTube. All the YouTube YouTube's half my viewing now, which is fantastic. So that's growing and growing and growing. Please like the video if you can. It helps. Don't exactly know why. I think it just gets it in the algorithm more. But thank you to everyone who likes it. Comments. I love the engagement. The thing that I've really been, not humbled by, I've never been an arrogant bloke, but like that's really nice is that all the comments I get asking about me as a person, or someone asked me about the teams that I follow, like with the 49ers, RIP 49ers, I went to the Sporting Globe and they lost in overtime. I've only just got over it. But I'll be back next year to win the Super Bowl. Don't you worry about that. People are engaging with me as a person, with Marnie, and I want to bring as much of you guys into this podcast as possible. That's why the voice messages are set up for you guys to send me via the email. And I always ask for your thoughts and love the messages you guys send. So thank you so much. We'll be back next week. And yeah, Kanga, Kanga, Kanga. I love Charlie Combin and Biggie Newer as a backline duo. There you go. My brain's wandering. See ya.